This morning, the used the last piece of the Anapanasati Sutta as a theme. Pati nisaga anupasi. Patinisaga, contemplating relinquishment, contemplating abandoning, is the way it's normally translated. And so contemplating relinquishment, I breathe in. Contemplating relinquishment, I breathe out. Oftentimes it's particularly talking about the relinquishment of self, but it also applies to sort of abandoning of all defilements. So that contemplation of really relinquishing and giving up, abandoning. On each in-breath and on each out-breath, to bring that, open that up to the possibility of real relinquishment. And we spend so much of our time just holding back all the time, and we've got all our reasons for it, and all our logic for it, and all our necessity of why we have to hold back, why we can't give up, why we can't relinquish, why we can't abandon. And we don't really contemplate, well, just relinquishing, just giving up, just abandoning. Really letting go of our perceptions of self, our our particular biases, particular fears. And we're always going back and sort of renewing ourselves at the source of our suffering, rather than giving ourselves the opportunity to step into an abiding of peace, an abiding of freedom. Now it's like Dukkata sent these pictures of they just came this morning. I just got them this morning. The pictures from her time down in the south of Thailand, and just all these bodies, and one of the things they had to keep protecting against is sort of the dogs coming and gnawing on the corpses. And you get that feeling of the same thing with our defilement and our habits. It's like this dog coming and gnawing on a rotten corpse of our defilements and attachments, and we don't chase them away. We don't sort of let it gnaw away, and doesn't really. Obviously, the thing to do is to really relinquish, let go, drop, and each time that sort of the let's say the mind goes back to chew on its defilements, and to really establish that awareness of relinquishing, of letting go, rather than being content as having having the mind sort of gnawing on this sort of rotten corpse of our suffering, and it seems so useless. And we do it all the time. And you know, again, we've got all the logic, we've got all the habit there for it, the conditioning for it, and don't really bring up consciously the opportunity or that we do have to relinquish, to set aside, to put down. So that this last contemplation is very, very powerful. If one gives it some attention, pays an interest in that quality of relinquishing. And this is something in terms of something that inspired me with Ajahn Chah's practice, or if I would typify Ajahn Chah's practice, that would be a characteristic that I would think of first, is his complete relinquishment, a really full, total relinquishment, abandoning. And you know, that is extraordinarily inspiring, and that's also what he really wanted to foster in all of us who lived with him, studied with him. That was his sort of his hope, his goal, and try to embody or partake, you know, even a little bit in that legacy of Ajahn Chah, is to be interested in and focused on relinquishment, abandoning, giving up, letting go. One of the words he used to use was to surrender. And do we really surrender to the Dhamma, or do we keep surrendering to our defilements, our desires, our attachments? And that sense of really surrendering and giving oneself to the Dhamma, to that which is actually the base for real peace and real contentment. This seems, you know, when you see clearly, then of course that's really what the heart wants to do. Then what comes up in the mind, this is what I really want to do, but there's this thing that is really bugging me, or there's this thing that I really have to have, or there's this I really have to get this done first. and with relinquishing, there's no buts in there. This is really turning to that quality of abandoning and letting go, and really as we sit and watch, attend to the in-breath and the out-breath, to really attend to, well, what am I holding? What am I not yet ready to abandon? What am I not yet ready to relinquish? And right there is where we have to put our attention and effort on relinquishing. And you don't need to figure it out, you don't have to analyze it, you don't need to formulate a treatise in your mind about it. It just needs to be dropped, it needs to be abandoned, it needs to be relinquished. So that making it into a present moment practice, it isn't that when I get my knowledge of the discourses down, then I'll really be able to relinquish. And when I get my samadhi together, then I'll be able to relinquish. And when I really refine that insight into dependent origination, I'll be able to relinquish. And when I really contemplate. When I really contemplate suffering, then I'll be able to relinquish. It's not like that. It's in this moment we have the opportunity to relinquish, to abandon, to let go. And that's what we have to learn how to do. We have to, just by doing it, bringing attention to that quality of relinquishing, abandoning, as we breathe in and as we breathe out in this present moment, not with any conditions placed on it, not with any sort of timeline of when it's going to happen, but attending to it in the present moment. There's a story in the Tibetan tradition that is somewhat similar in terms of that theme, that thrust, where a monk is doing his circumambulations of the jetty, sort of doing his recitations and. Recitation, circumambulations, going around the shrine, and the teacher, the Rinpoche, sort of walks past and sort of commends him. He said, "Yeah, doing circumambulations is a good thing." He says, "But it doesn't really compare to practicing the Dhamma." And then walked off, and the monk was like, "Oh, well, I guess maybe this is considered a preliminary practice. I better do something a bit more." He must mean I should be doing reciting the sutras. So he finds a spot in front of the library, gets the sutras out, and he's reading and reciting and doing that for a while, putting up a lot of energy for doing that. And one day the Rinpoche walks past similarly, and I said, "Yeah, reciting the sutras is a good thing." He says, "But it doesn't compare to really practicing the Dhamma." And he gets, oh, kind of shocked at that. He thought he'd really got it this time. And so I'm thinking, okay, it must mean that I should be practicing meditation. That's it. Everybody says that meditation is the highest practice. So he starts doing a lot of sitting meditation and developing the different aspects of concentration, reflection, and does that for quite some time. And again, the Rinpoche goes, "One day, was walking past while he's doing a sitting meditation. So yeah, sitting meditation is a good thing. So, but it doesn't compare to really practicing the Dhamma. And that was just really the straw that broke the camel's back. It was, yes, he just burst out in frustration. You know, you keep saying that all the things that I'm doing are good, but I should. It doesn't compare to practicing the Dhamma. Well, what does it mean to practice the Dhamma? And the Rinpoche just said, renounce this life. Renounce this life. Mm-hmm. That sense of renunciation, relinquishing, abandoning, that real directing attention to that. And you know, obviously that isn't, we have varying degrees of success at it, but without bringing up that perspective, without shining the light of that kind of relinquishment on what goes on in our minds, then everything becomes really believable. It becomes sort of right and righteous. It becomes, that is, the need is really strong. But then, if we really bring up that quality and surrounding the content of our experience with that field of relinquishment, then things change differently a lot. And you have to keep repeating that, keep bringing the mind back to that point of really relinquishing, letting go, putting down. It's really both the fruit of practice as well as the actual practice itself. Continue to work with the mindfulness of breathing and bringing it into all of the different aspects of our experience of bodily, physical, feeling, the mind, objects of mind itself, the Dhammas. Then, our mindfulness of breathing is sort of permeated with the quality of this practice, and it has to have a direction. It has to have a point. And certainly, one of the points of the whole thing is this quality of relinquishment. To be encouraging the mind to come to this point of relinquishment, to be able to put things down. So as we put things down, on a certain level, things don't change a lot. I mean, in the sense that there's still a body, there's still feelings, there's still mind, but we relate to it in a very different way. One of the ways of kind of helping to foster that, or to bring up, having a means to reflect on is just it's that recognition of things being just what they are, and that in the sense that the khandhas being the khandhas, seeing this is body, this is feeling, this is perception, is your thought, mental formations, is consciousness. And sort of the relinquishing of the self that is it tries to establish itself within that within those natural phenomena, the relinquishing, abandoning the whole perception of the world that is just these five khandhas arising and passing away. And just, but you know, it isn't as if you know one relinquishes, abandons, and there's nothing there. There's nothing left. There's nothing. You know, what is left is just that which is natural. Things are as they are. We don't have to try to make them into anything different. Something that is a, you know, a feeling, whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, it doesn't have to become anything else. But just seeing it in that night, in light, that light, and relinquishing any movement towards the, let's say, the story, the proliferation, the bias, the opinion, the me that's trying to establish itself. You know, even in terms of the practice, you know, what am I getting? What am I getting out of this? What am I achieving? What am I attaining? I must be getting somewhere. You know, just to relinquish the whole idea of that mind that's trying to establish a point for me to feel comfortable and me to feel that I've got something. Just to see things as they truly are. And that sort of that perception of self and me is sort of an addition that we inevitably just creates more suffering. Me trying to feel that I am have attained and I'm a worthy being because of that. And you're seeing that. The sight, sound, smells, taste, touch, mental formations, or the mind objects. I'm just seeing that as the. That's what they are. And then relinquishing, we're putting attention on relinquishing of that mind that's trying to sort of establish itself in some way. and importance. And it doesn't, and it isn't, let's say that when the mind goes, it doesn't need to annihilate anything. I mean, that's just another position of self. Pushing away, rejecting, not wanting. Feeling uncomfortable and then pushing it away. And it's only when we can experience things in there and say, this is the way things are, that there's any real peace. Sometimes just working with the feeling of the our how we experience the four elements. Again, the impulse and the And the habit is to go to sort of me and my body, me and a solid world around me. But just to go to the elements, those primary elements of say earth, fire, water, and air, and those are tangibles that kind of depict an experience. It's that experience of that which is solid, that which is tangible. It's the earth element, the kind of the solidity, the feeling of solidity, the experience of solidity, feeling of groundedness. You know, whether we feel it on the physical level or feel it on the mental level, just experiencing that feeling of that which is solid, that which is grounded, that which is kind of firm. These are the sort of the characteristics of what we call the earth element, and to experience that with a quality of, say, relinquishing the tendency to make a story out of it or create a sense of self and identity around it. This is just that feeling. And coming back to that experiential simplicity of something in the present moment. And the elements, and the feeling, the water element of that which is fluid, the element of cohesion. It's the water element that helps to bind and flow. And again, whether it's felt on a sort of a tangible physical experience or on a mental level of how this characteristic of a particular element, and doesn't have to have an imputing of self or world or any of the other complicated constructs that we add to it. But returning to that, a very basic felt sense of what we're experiencing. Again, when we, so whether we're sitting and meditating, and there's the actual sensation of wet in the mouth, the feeling of as one's breathing in, breathing out, the feeling of the liquid element. I mean, it's just a basic sensation of the human condition. You know, it really helps to return to that simplicity of experience, so that one, we cut through the proliferation, and two, we start to realize that, yeah, there is just these elements. All of the kind of life that we consider me is just the elements. All the life that we see around us, the world around us, is just these elements. The world that we live in and rely upon is just these elements. The food that we take in to sustain the body is just the elements. the whole exchange of breathing is just these elements, the breath coming in to the body, the feeling of expanding, distending, movement of the breath. It's just the air element. As the breath goes out, and there's the movement, the sinking of the abdomen, movement of the breath going out. This is air, has the quality, ability to move and distend, to expand, contract, and these are a felt sense of these elements. To attend to that experience, so that we can relinquish the more complicated constructs of our mind and experience, relinquish and abandon the tendencies of the mind, and just return to present moment experience. That in the present moment, what do we experience? We experience a sense of either hardness or softness, of movement, of wet, of dry. These elements, heat and cold, the fire element. Starting, the heat in the body that is keeping us warm is the fire element, and we need to sort of maintain that fire element. The heat, and this is the way in the suttas of that. It's also the heat that digests our food. So the heat digesting our donuts, and just the elements. Look at it in that way, rather than there's all the fears or worries. I'm too hot, I'm too cold, or I've got to have it exactly like this. In order to be comfortable, it should be like that. But it's just the element of heat, or lack of heat. I mean, all cold is a lack of heat. So that returning to these very simple foundation of experience, so that we can relinquish the more complicating tendencies of the mind, and that's, as we relinquish that, we're able to really see clearly. Also, as we relinquish and abandon, say, those sense of self, the I construct, giving something for the mind to attend to, so that it doesn't get hooked back into the self construct just out of force of habit. And so that attending to the elements is a very useful theme for doing that, giving the mind a break, giving the sense of self a rest. Just go sit in a corner for a while. Take a break for a while. it's just so ready to leap up and volunteer for everything. This is a sense of self sort of sitting there, just give me something to do, you know. don't keep me, don't let me get bored, you know. Keeps getting in trouble. For all its good intentions, it just keeps creating suffering. It's like, you know, inevitably you have characters like that. Say a person who is always really well intentioned, but just keeps messing things up. And you sort of moan and groan or get irritated, but we don't view ourselves that way, but that's really what this whole sense of self is. It's well intentioned in the fact that it wants to experience happiness and well being. It does want to experience some sense of peace and satisfaction, gratification. But it really doesn't know how to do it, because there isn't a way that it can do it. The sense of self is always undermining its goals, just because it holds on to that. It holds on, it's unable to relinquish, unable to abandon, unable to let go, unable to put down what is to its detriment. So that relinquishing is such a, it's a key quality for entering into an abiding in Dhamma. And Ajahn Buddhadasa, when he translates this Patinisaka, he translates it as rather than relinquishing, he translates it as giving back. It's giving back. And he says it quite nicely, in the sense, you know, we have to give back what we have sort of appropriated or taken that didn't belong to us. And of course, you know, we keep appropriating and taking on form, feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness, the five kinds. We take them on and try to make them into self, and we have to give them back. They're just that which is in nature. You know, we take the sight, sound, smells, taste, touch, mental objects. You know, we appropriate them, we take them, take them on, and we have to learn how to give them back. That is all they were. They were just a sight. The feeling that arose was just a feeling. The consciousness that arose out of contact was just that. Elements of nature that need to be given back, can't be appropriated, can't be taken, unconsidered to consider itself. Ajahn Buddhadasa says that we have to give back what isn't ours, and we have to give back what we've stolen. He says we're just like a bunch of thieves. We go and steal things all the time. We have to give them back at some point. You know, we're constantly taking what isn't ours and trying to make it ours. And the life of a thief is not a happy existence. It just can't be. Mm-hmm. You know, on some level that you're living with stolen goods. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're spending your life with trying to avoid the authorities, keep away from the from the law. The law in this case is Dhamma. It's one of the truths. And the truth comes along and we have to give it up. We have to relinquish. We have to abandon it. So that to actually practice doing that, to on each in-breath, on each out-breath, patinisaka. As we breathe in, contemplating relinquishment. As we breathe out, contemplating relinquishment. Then that saying, you know, as an image in the mind, really just bringing that up as an image and breathing in, just really surrounding the whole experience with that quality of relinquishing, abandoning, the image of letting go, dropping, putting down. I'd say, as we cultivate that and become skilled in that, then that's really where our peace is. A sense of well-being really arises from that quality of relinquishment. So I'll offer that for reflection this morning.
Anthamayam ovatakathayam satukkarang dhatthamase